Agenda paper four.
Okay, well, moving from service concessions to the relatively easy topic of derecognition of modified financial assets. Agenda paper four, we consider whether we should progress consideration of a project to clarify the guidance in IFRS 9. And in particular, this is about when a modification of exchange of financial assets results in the derecognition of the original asset. Now, if you remember, the Interpretations Committee has considered questions about the derecognition of exchanges of financial assets in respect of two very specific cases, the first being Greek government bonds and the second the exchange of equity instruments issued by a central bank. At the time, we received a few, and it was literally a handful of requests for some more generic guidance in this area. And we acknowledge that such guidance would be too broad for the Interpretations Committee to deal with itself. And consequently, you asked us to investigate whether it would be possible to identify a narrow scope project to provide more generic guidance in this area, which we could then propose to the ISB and see if they would pick this up. In addition, we acknowledge at the time that the ISB has already undertaken a comprehensive derecognition project and decided not to continue with it. And so you also asked us to sound out ISB members' views about taking on such a project at this time. Since then, we've sought to identify what the key considerations might be from a technical perspective that would present the greatest challenges in trying to define a narrow scope project. And our analysis is set out in the paper in paragraphs 36 to 52. We think one of the key things coming out of this analysis is the complexities of taking on such a project. Really, I don't think there is a quick fix to this. Any project would be likely to need significant time and resources and would be quite difficult to keep to one particular aspect of the current derecognition model. I think we'd end up opening up quite a bit of that derecognition model, the current one. We also, as requested, informally consulted the ISB members to obtain their individual views on whether to take on such a project. And the ISB members we consulted were consistently of the view that it would be better not to take on such a project, even on a narrow scope basis at this time. And I've summarised the reasons in the paper in paragraph 35. Now, we do acknowledge that some of the new requirements in IFRS 9 do put a bit more pressure on the derecognition requirements, and that we have, and the ISB has received some requests for more generic guidance in this area. However, those requests have been relatively small in number, and at the moment there doesn't seem to be an overwhelming evidence of need for guidance in this area, although obviously we haven't done some comprehensive outreach on this particular topic. I think that the two key issues are that the difficulty in keeping this issue contained and keeping it narrow scope, and also that we're unlikely to get much traction from the ISB if we do put forward a proposal at this time, that it's best if we don't progress this issue and spend more time on this at the Interpretations Committee. So I'd appreciate your thoughts on that recommendation and whether you agree.
Bruce?
I could not agree with you more. I think there's absolutely no way we can take this on.
Simple. Put you down as undecided.
Yeah.
Charlotte?
I probably have a different view. I think you could have narrowed it down to the modification just to make the sort of mirror to the financial liabilities, which also exists in other GAAP, and to when is the modification creating new asset, and the scope being it between the existing borrower and lender, rather than going to being a sort of transfer derecognition issue. And I think that is sufficiently narrow, and it's actually what the questions that have come up have been about, and it's one that it's a question that crops up the whole time. And people don't look at it in the same way as derecognition. They look at it as how do you apply the test? What is the test for seeing whether you've got a new instrument or not, rather than how you derecognized it?
So. Yeah, I mean, I think I can see the attraction in that sort of approach, but I think in thinking about it longer, your problem is actually defining the scope of it, and then whether you've got something for a particular subset of financial assets, whereas obviously the derecognition rules apply to all financial assets, and the difficulties you have with equity assets, and you know the derecognition rules in the modification rules for financial liabilities don't just nicely tie into those for financial assets, means that it's perhaps not as simple as first meets the eye.
I don't think it's simple, but I think it's less complex than you're stating. I think you could narrow it down sufficiently to actually give some help to people in this area, rather than leaving them to work it out themselves.
John?
I agree with Charlotte. I think it could have been very narrowly scoped to deal with modifications. And I don't agree with the comment that there's limited evidence to date of need for guidance. I think there's absolutely lots of evidence of the need for guidance. There's a lot of modification transactions going on currently, and there is diversity in whether they are considered to be derecognition and new financial instruments or whether they're not. So I don't necessarily agree with the comment that there's limited evidence of the need.
Martin and then Bob.
Yeah, I believe it is narrow, but it might be challenging. I fear that we as an interpretation committee then miss guidance coming from the accounting standards. So we would design something new. We would design a new concept, and that would mean that we have to align this new concept with the board, and that we have to consider. For the time being, what I miss as a discussion point is that currently it seems to be a kind of, say, policy choice, because we have no clear guidance. And if I have no policy choice, at least I have to, well, give some disclosures on the policies I have applied and the potential outcome. So that is at least the minimum I would expect. A kind of hint. On the other hand, currently we see that the question is, do we have currently a pressure? So far the pressure lowered a little bit. However, if we would see further severe economic developments in some countries where government bonds are exchanged or other issues like we have seen with the Greek bonds, this topic will definitely come back. So that's the critical decision we have to consider.
Bob?
Yeah, I'm thinking along the same lines as Charlotte and John. I feel comfortable in my mind. I think that I could, in my mind, scope this narrowly enough, excluding out transfers. Now, that doesn't mean that it's as easy as liabilities. I recognize that different than liabilities, we'd have to deal with the interaction between classification with impairment. But I thought those are all issues that could be dealt with. On the issues of, this is an issue in practice. For every modification of a liability out there, and we see enough of those, there are at least as many, if not more, modifications of the financial asset, because sometimes there's more than one holder of these instruments. So I think there's a hole in the literature that there is a need out there for people, or people are looking for it to be filled.
Kumar?
Just quickly, with the comments, I do not disagree with what's been said, is that there is a need for the literature meeting, but on the question of evidence, it's anything that floats up to IFRIC obviously has gone through the filters, otherwise it wouldn't be here. So we have to judge what is the need in the context of what's coming here. And we have gone through what the requests were and what has been. Bob and John was mentioning time machine, it's almost deja vu. I've been through the derecognition guidance. Yes, we can look at it, but to cut this, we'll have to open the guidance up. It means how do you do a modification and keep it away from a transfer? So let's say you do a modification with single entities, should we restrict it? How do we manage for equity instruments? Because that will also come in. It is not a simple thing, I would say. That's something. I do not deny there's need for guidance. The question is, can we keep it in a limited project that can be done very quickly? That's where I would say my doubts are. I do not deny that, as you rightly said, it needs quite a bit of literature that will require. So the example which comes to my mind is that you can do a transfer by amending the terms, but you can also do it through another instrument. So do we then consider these modification as a modification or something else? So these issues will come up. Now the question is this a small enough project to be do is a simple cover, a small restricted thing? That's where the doubt comes in.
Tony?
Yes, my thoughts are very similar to those of John and Bob and Charlotte. As I understand the tensions, I understand the reluctance to reopen the guidance, but I think it is an area where there is diversity. I wonder if there'll be a greater tension in the diversity under IFRS 9 and the way the impairment model works and what's the point at which an instrument was initially recognised, and so whether there's actually going to be a greater tension going forward. So I think I share the concerns of others that there is diversity and perhaps there is a need for guidance. I guess maybe it's a question for Kumar and the staff. I mean, even if this is what the committee, the sense of others on the committee, if it's going to require reopening the standards and the board doesn't want to, are we to an extent spinning our wheels?
I think Jenny trying to answer, that's a question. First, for me, we'll have to reopen the standard. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first question. I don't think this is, can be done through an interpretation. Let's not kid ourselves on that one. And we didn't get much traction on that one.
So, and I guess the hesitation is I wouldn't want this to turn into another one of those things that bounces from this table to the next table and then back to this table. So if the honest answer is the board wouldn't consider making an amendment, then there's probably not much point in trying to move ahead, albeit I think I share the views of the others that there probably is a need for some clarity and the tension might grow as we move forward into IFRS 9.
Kumar asked me on the side, isn't this part of the agenda consultation? I think this is one of those issues that probably doesn't rise to the level of most people's minds when they think about agenda consultation. Too little, too big for us to do efficiently, too little for it to get people's attention. So, Andrew and then Reinhard.
Well, I agree with Tony that if the board has got no appetite to take this on, then we can talk about as much as we like, but it's not actually going to go anywhere. That said, I agree with others that I think there's clearly an issue out there. I think IFRS 9 is a double-edged sword in terms of whether it's going to make it sort of more or less pressing. I think the move to an expected loss model takes some of the pressure off because you get the remeasurement of the impairment loss component, you know, whether or not you derecognise an effect. But you might shift between categories, between buckets for the impairment loss, and you might also modify the terms in such a way that had those terms been in place at inception, you would have been in a different measurement category. The SPPI test might have been passed then failed in the vernacular. So that's a double-edged sword. But I do agree with the staff this wouldn't be a quick fix, and I'm not convinced that just saying applying the liability guidance is actually really going to reduce diversity, because we've got the 10% test for liabilities, but there are, and I think there's a general acknowledgement, you also look at qualitative factors of assessing substantial, but how those qualitative factors are actually assessed in practice I think might not be entirely consistent, so there's a risk of sort of shifting diversity to a different place rather than actually reducing diversity.
Bonnie, did you want to come in at this point?
I'm not sure that I have any different views than what the majority of the folks have already said on around the room.
Okay. Reinhard?
My comments were going to be very similar, that this is an issue in practice. I think under IFRS 9 there will be perhaps different tensions, but the issues will continue, and I think it will require some opening up of the guidance. And so if there isn't an appetite by the board to do it at this time, given the desire to have a stable platform, it's, as Tony said, we may be spinning our wheels as a committee. I wouldn't be surprised if it does come back to this committee at some point in the future.
Sue and then Bruce.
The only I've thought about this a lot over the years because we've had questions on this, you know, not huge ones, but a number of questions on this throughout the IFRS 9 project in terms of people asking us whether it should be part of what was considered, and we didn't do it. The thing I always struggle with is that I think that on the asset side we have a more complicated situation because we've got two tools. We've got the measurement of the gross asset and we've got impairment, whereas on the liability side we've just got the liability. I think that that means for me that the 10% test would never really be suitable on the asset side, because a lot of cases where you would change the cash flows by more than 10% would be an impairment type discussion on the asset side because that model exists. So I don't think me, for one, would ever accept a 10% type test on the asset side. Because of that, I think we'd be forced to come back to a talking about, has the original instrument expired and be replaced by something else or not? It's always going to come down to the judgment, which is basically what the committee emphasised when we looked at the Greek government bond issue. So I'm worried that people think somehow that we would come up with this new guidance, which is nice and black and white, like we've got on the liability side. And I don't think that, personally, that would be where we would land. And so I think people are looking for something that, realistically, I don't think we would be delivering to them.
Also, how would I apply this for equity instruments? I've got assets.
Bruce?
I was actually just going to ask exactly the same question of the board members. I mean, I was going to say, do you think that if this came back to you, you would actually find a solution? Because, I mean, that's been my big challenge and why I said I think it's the right thing to drop. I mean, I accept whatever you said. There's definitely an issue in terms of this. But I think for us to find a solution is just, I think it's going to end up like issue two. I think it could end up bouncing back and forth between the two of us for the next 2 years. And I'm just not convinced that there's a magical answer out there right now under the current standard.
Carl?
Just to echo Bruce's comments, same view.
I think there is a consensus that this is a live issue. It was a live issue 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Back when I worked for the other people. but it hadn't gone away. It's not any more or less live, and it's probably not any more or less resolvable. I do agree that, given the interplay with the impairment, I can't see just mirroring the liability side. So that had some attraction before, but not now. Who would object to an agenda decision that says that, yes, this is an existing issue, but not one that we believe is resolvable within the confines of the Interpretations Committee?
I'm raising my hand.
Okay. I forget how I phrased
it.
Object.
Okay, so I have a sufficient number of objections that it doesn't pass. Plan B?
For adding something onto the agenda would be a simple majority. It's only a supermajority for actually issuing an interpretation.
Okay.
So I think that means that we've got 9 in favour of an agenda decision with 4 with 5 against.
Okay. All right, well, that's what we'll do then.
Will this be an agenda decision?
Just a
this wasn't an agenda request.
Well, we have to publish what we decided to do.
So it'll be a minutes.
Yeah. So it's an agenda decision in that it was on the agenda and we made a decision.
Okay.
Okay.